And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Bridget is playing hooky. I think she's at a bar somewhere. Is that right, Addison? Somebody said she was at the bar?
It seems like an unsubstantiated rumor, but I'll agree for now.
Okay.
It sounds plausible.
So we've got Bill Hale is our guest host again today. Bill, thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I'm surprised after yesterday you came back for more.
I'm a bear for punishment.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what. The weather was punishing yesterday in Lakes Country. We had some strong to severe storms, some tornadic storms in Lakes Country. Now we're getting a break today with some pretty decent weather, but more active weather is likely before the week is done. So if you're a severe weather fan, you'll want to stay up to date on the forecast. Today, though, it's going to be a quiet one. We're looking at temperatures out there right now, right around the 80-degree mark, and we're looking at temperatures warming up just a few more degrees, probably lower 80s. Some spots will touch the mid-80s, and winds will be out of the northwest at about 5 to 15. Partly cloudy to clear overnight tonight. Again, could see some patchy fog with lows in the mid-50s and light winds, and tomorrow, another mild one, northwest winds about 5 to 15, partly cloudy and highs in the mid-80s tomorrow, and then a chance for storms Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. The ones Thursday and Friday night could pack a punch. We'll keep an eye on that. Highs in the mid to upper 80s both Thursday and Friday, and the weekend looks dry, hot, with temperatures between 90 and 95 across the area. So summer heat is coming our way as we head into the weekend. And again, you'll want to keep it tuned here during the overnight hours in case we do have severe weather that pops up. We'll bring you the latest information on that. But usually when these storms come in at night, the typical severe threat, not always, but 90% of the time is going to be damaging winds and large hail. It's pretty difficult to get tornadoes up this far north at night. It can happen for sure, but not with the setup that we've got for coming up later this week.
And if summer heat is your thing, enjoy it, because it's going to be over soon.
Summers are short enough, so let's get it going. And 90 degrees, and taking a look down the road, it will cool off a little bit early next week, but the long-term pattern through the end of the month, it's going to turn active again, and temperatures are going to be pretty close to normal. Normal highs this year, right around 80 to the lower 80s across the area. So we'll be pretty close to that over the next couple of weeks before. I think once we turn the corner into July, the first half of July is looking like it's going to be pretty hot. Yeah. We're going to have more 90-degree temperatures this summer than we did last summer.
And 90s are okay. Those triple digits, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see that. Coming just yet.
Good.
And yeah, we don't want it too hot without the moisture as well.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
we are going to go through a stretch of drier weather, it looks like, and not totally dry, but drier than normal those first couple weeks in July. Towards the end of July and early August, we'll get into a wetter pattern again. But we'll definitely have that drier start to July, it looks like. That, along with the heat, again, that could, yeah, I think we'll see enough rain before that we won't have to worry about any drought conditions.
That's good.
So
that's
good
news.
Yeah, that is good news. Yeah, but yeah, we're in that active part of the LRC cycle right now, and that'll last for about the next week or so. And we're on a 41-day cycle this year, so what we're seeing now will repeat itself, or a similar pattern, in 41 days. So that puts us at the end of July into early August. We'll go into another active cycle of wet weather. And I mean, we've picked up with yesterday's rain about a half inch to an inch across much of the area over the next 10 days. And I'll have to double check in my office, but I believe over the next 10 days, we could get another 1 to 3 inches.
That'll work.
Yeah.
That'll work.
It's much needed. We could, you know, there's all the drought conditions for the most part have been eliminated for now. They've been eradicated. Still some drought conditions in, south of our area and out in the western part of the state. But even in the western part of the state, it's only the extreme west that's under drought conditions right now. It shrank a lot because over the last, couple of weeks, they've picked up quite a bit of rain out there. So, that's good. It's good news all over.
It is.
Yeah.
And just yesterday, the spring wheat started to head out right by my house.
Really?
So that's when the crop really needs some water, and you've got some coming.
And we've got some, tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night.
Perfect.
Yeah. Let's just hope we don't get the severe weather or hail with it.
That's none of that frozen stuff.
No, we don't. Not this time of the year.
Since my last name is Hale, we don't mind.
Right. So we have And we have a special guest coming on, and I believe our guest has been on before. I'm kidding. And we'll have more on that coming up after the 1:15 break here. Brian from Red River Retention Authority will be on with us, and you have a list of questions for Brian, don't you, Bill?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
And Brian, I suppose you've told the audience before about the Retention Authority, but just in case, a reminder is always a good thing.
Yes, the Retention Authority is was organized through a joint powers agreement between the Red River Joint Water Resource Districts in North Dakota and the Red River Watershed Management Board in Minnesota. So we represent in an entirety of 21 counties throughout the Minnesota, and then another 14 counties in North Dakota that comprise up the watersheds that make up the basin for the Red River Valley. So
great,
yeah.
Is this a one of a kind thing? Like between where two states, you know, work together like this? Are there any other, like along the Missouri or Mississippi or?
You know, as far as having a multi-state jurisdiction, I believe we are fairly unique.
Okay.
And then especially when you throw in the Canadian aspect to it, too. Of course,
right.
We don't work directly with our Canadian neighbors, but we do work indirectly with them through the Red River Basin Commission. Yes, we are kind of a unique situation here. The size of the basin, you know, we could rival several states that are in the United States here as far as size and land mass. And, of course, the uniqueness that we have here in the Red River Basin, it's the only river that flows north.
That was going to be my next question. It is the only river in the United States that flows south to north.
Yes.
And explain why that is.
Well, actually, I'm going to back up a little bit because the headwaters of the Red River is the Boite Sioux River, which starts down at Lake Traverse.
Okay.
And that also flows ever so slightly to the north. But then it joins together with the Otter Tail River that comes out of the Fergus Falls area there. And then they join together in Breckenridge to form the Red River of the North.
Okay. And explain why. Why is that the only river that flows north?
Just the age of the river basin itself. Glacial Lake Agassiz was here, and when that retreated, it carved out the basin. So really, the Red River of the North Basin is probably one of the youngest river basins in the United States also.
Just in fact, the ice over where we're sitting today was a mile high for 13,000 years, and it compressed the earth.
Hmm.
And that's what made the Red River flow north. And the earth has been coming back ever since. John Wheeler once would often report about how the earth has stopped rising back up around Grand Forks, but it still rises up here every year.
I bet a lot of people don't know
that. A little bit
that.
Less than an inch.
Yeah.
And that when the ice started to melt, then about there was a lake here 300 feet deep for 2,700 years. That's why there's
good
black
fishing.
Soil. That you get good fishing. Well, and I don't know if you want to catch some of those.
Probably not,
fish.
Yeah.
They were probably some big boys.
Yeah.
At least you don't want them in the boat with you.
Yeah, but, right.
So the water was 300 feet deep here for 2,700 years, and then it broke out at Lake Traverse because Lake Traverse is only 75 feet higher than Fargo. If that's the case, then what was holding the water here?
Yeah.
So I had the engineers at my water district look into, well, how deep is the Minnesota River that goes south out of Lake Traverse into the Mississippi? How deep is that valley?
Right.
225 feet.
Wow.
Plus 75, 300.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's that, and that's what created the black soil here, which has only seen the air and the sun for 9,600 years. Most places measure the age of their soil in millions of years. Here, it's only 9,600 years old, and it's only been tilled
only
for 150.
Really?
Yeah.
Only 150?
People got here about 100.
Right, okay.
Yeah, settlers
well,
got
it was
here.
Too, it was too cold native, to come up here, that's
there
why.
There were Native Americans here prior to that, but they didn't farm.
Okay.
They hunted for wildlife and
right.
those, that sort of thing.
Interesting. All right, well, it's time for break. We'll check out the markets, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Brian from the Red River Retention Authority. If you have any questions during the show, feel free to give us a call on our hotline, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:22 in the afternoon. Temperature is hugging 80 degrees out there. We'll have the full forecast coming up a little bit later, and it does include more severe weather, it looks like, in the forecast. But before that, we have our guest today, Brian Feuder from the Red River Retention Authority. Brian, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Dean.
You've been on here a few times with
us. Yes, I have. I always appreciate the opportunity to come in and visit with you. And especially knowing that Bill was going to be here today. Actually, when I started my position with the Red River Retention Authority, Bill was one of the first water resource district managers that I got to meet. And so we've had kind of looked up to him a little bit as maybe a little bit of a mentor. And,
wow, that's a nice compliment.
Yeah, so it's been a real treat to know that I'll get an opportunity to visit with Bill here on some topics here. And especially, he has a lot of background knowledge on the retention authority. Mm-hmm. He was one of the two people that were pretty instrumental in the development of the retention authority and bringing it to what it is today.
And for those that aren't familiar with the retention authority, briefly explain what does that entail?
Well, the retention authority's purpose is looking at trying to work with reducing the Red River and tributary peak flood flows by 20% of the 1997 levels. Mm-hmm. And we do that through working with both the Minnesota watershed districts and the North Dakota water resource districts on both sides of the Red River Basin.
Now, based on that, could it happen again? Could we see, we've got the diversion, we've got the retention authority. Is there any worry that could we see flooding like we did in 97, or would everything we've been doing alleviate that? It's hard to say alleviate, but diminish it.
There is no cure for flooding.
Yeah.
There really isn't, because we just don't know what Mother Nature's going to throw at us. I mean, we could wake up tomorrow morning and, regardless of how good your forecast is, Mother Nature can change her mind.
Sure. Yep.
And, every spring, we don't know. It's going to depend on the amount of snowfall that we had over the winter.
Yep.
How quickly the spring runoff starts, or what the people refer to as the freshens. And how fast that water accumulates in the basin, how fast that water gets to the main stem, what's going on with the removal of the ice along the river as this water flows north. And then we get a big dump of rain. 97 was that perfect example. Yeah. We started having flooding, and then we got, 6 inches of ice, and then we got a great big rain. And, we don't know what Mother Nature's going to throw at us. So Everything that we're doing is really, we're trying to get a step or two ahead of what we think is going to happen, but we'll never know for sure what exactly is.
And just to give you a little thought on how big this is, in, I think it was 1898 or something like that, was the biggest flood on record in Fargo. There were 2 square blocks of Fargo that were not underwater.
Wow.
Where the WDAY building is. My daughter had a condo across the street there, and their underground parking garage was at 52 feet. That's how high you had to be above ground.
Wow.
Flooding starts in Fargo at 30 feet.
Yeah.
Right? Oof. And that event was not a 500-year flood, mm-hmm, that the diversion is set up to handle.
Right.
That's why they went for a 500-year event structure like the diversion.
Mm-hmm.
There was a monument that was placed in McCulleyville between Kent and Abercrombie. It said the flood of 1897, mm-hmm, and that was on a telephone pole. It used to be into a tree, but they tried to keep it and perpetuate it forward. The accuracy probably isn't there. But after 97, you could see the ice hanging on a telephone pole a good foot above the 1897 point of record.
Wow.
So, and like Bill said, that wasn't a 500-year flood. Yeah. That's just the worst flood of recorded history, and 97 surpassed
And the
that.
Medical reason all of this is important, the only level 1 trauma center between Minneapolis and St. Paul is Fargo.
Yep.
And now there is one in Sioux Falls. Mm-hmm. There is. Just a year ago, they got one too. But getting to Sioux Falls takes about as much time as getting to Minneapolis.
Yeah, about 3 hours.
I'd like that trauma center to be open during a flood, because I was on I-94 in the 97 flood. I-94 at Mapleton was 3 inches underwater I was trying to get my father to the hospital, and I was driving through 3 inches of water. The Maple River Dam, which was not a retention authority project, but it took 40 years to get it built. And the 2009 flood was bigger than the 97 flood. And during the 2009 flood, I-94 never went underwater. It was 2 or 3 inches above water. 6 or 7 inch difference at that location from one dam. That's what the retention authority is doing.
Okay. All right. And Brian, what else can you tell us about yourself? How long have you been with the Red River Retention Authority?
Well, I'll be starting into my fourth year.
Okay.
As of about right now.
As of about.
So, yes, it's been very exciting. My background is civil engineering and surveying. I taught down at North Dakota State College of Science for a number of years in the civil tech and surveying realm. I worked for Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute for a number of years as their engineering training manager, and I've also done some adjunct instructing NDSU, Morehead State, Minnesota State, NDSCS, kind of all over the place there. And I also do some certification courses for the North Dakota DOT on aggregates and asphalt testing. So I've got a great understanding of this. I also served as emergency manager in Wilkin County in the city of Breckenridge during the wet years as a part-time position, and got my feet into it that way. And I've literally had my feet into it all the way up to my neck into it. And, you know, I really don't ever want to see water that level again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind my swimming pool at that level if it's 95 degrees, but, you know, not flood water.
Right.
I've seen the damages that can do. And I have a real passion to try to do everything in my possible realm to alleviate that if we can.
Sure. Sure. Well, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, we'll be talking about some of the 2025 projects that you guys have that you're working on. And if you have any questions for us, give us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. We've got our special guest, Bill Hale, filling in for Bridget. Bridget is... we'll just say on a break. Now, she's actually, I think she's teaching. Is that right, Addison? Isn't she teaching down some convention or something in South Dakota?
Sorry if you're listening, Bridget, because I don't remember what. But yeah, she is teaching something somewhere to someone.
Well, maybe so Bill knows.
It's South Dakota CA, so I'm guessing crop advisors.
That's
what it is.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
That's what
to do.
You know, and
yeah.
We're going to go with that, even if that's not.
Yeah,
it sounded good.
I saw that.
It sounded
on
good.
On social media, yeah.
And our other special guest. We got Brian Feuder from the Red River Retention. I want to say Attention Authority, Retention Authority. And so I want to thank both of you for taking time with us today, this afternoon. And again, if you have any questions for Bill or Brian, give us a call, 701-293-9000.
And you've been at it now for 15 years. Do you have any idea how many acre feet of water that you storage that you've created?
Oh, my goodness. How much is... has been created. We took a look at this, and I had actually had to run some numbers. I don't have all these numbers off the fresh top of my head here, but currently, since 1956, there have been 59 dams constructed in the Red River Basin with about 242,000 acre feet of storage. And then there has been dams that have been funded by the Red River Joint Board, the North Dakota portion, since 1979. And those are 12 dams with an accumulated storage of 123,791 acre-feet of storage at a total cost of $31 million. And the Red River Joint Board itself has contributed just about $13 million towards those projects over the last since 1979.
And an acre foot is about a quarter million gallons of water.
Yep. 43,560 times 7.84 gallons per cubic foot, and there you got an acre
foot. So we're talking trillions of gallons of water that are waiting their turn to go down a township or county or state or federal road ditch and not flood somebody's basement.
Right.
That's what you're done. And I think you've even had one project where something like a 10,000 head dairy was needed a water supply, and the local area needed water storage.
Right, and you know we've looked at that as a concept. How is it that we can take this wastewater that comes through in April and May, or March and April as our spring runoff. We want to get that stuff out of here. We don't want that in our, you know, the sooner we can get that out of our neighborhood, the happier we are. But is there some way that we can store this water during the spring and have it available as a source of supply for water for some agricultural purposes, industrial purposes? Can we look at doing something kind of unique with groundwater recharge with this type of water too? We've got to be able to look at more unique and interesting ways to add a taste of flavor to just floodwater retention and floodwater storage. We've got to look at habitat support, clean water cleanliness, water quality issues, things like that. Retention provides all of that in an indirect way. So can we expand on that and find out ways of using this water for more purposes other than just keeping it from flowing into somebody's basement?
And water management is handling too much of flood.
Yes.
But people may have started to forget the Red River ran dry in 1988.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting. We got a caller. Larry is on line one. Larry, what's your question?
Did I hear Brian say that Red River here in Fargo is the only river that flows north?
Yes, we were just talking about that on
air. In the United States.
In the United States. And the other one is?
The Nile.
The Nile River. Yeah.
And also,
well, that's not true.
Okay.
There's a river in Texas that is called the Red River that flows north, too.
Okay. Where at in Texas, Larry?
I'm not sure, but I knew that, and I just Googled it myself, and it said, yes, you're right. There is a Red River in Texas that is called the Red River, and it flows north.
I think a little part of it does, yes.
Yeah. And of course, I had mentioned earlier, too, the Boyde Sioux River also actually flows north, too.
Yeah.
So, but that's the headwater that drains into the Red River.
Right.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Great. Well, thank you, Larry. Appreciate your phone call. And, when I first moved up here 5 years ago, we were always taught, I might have been sleeping in that class, but that all rivers flow north to south, or, you know, in that general direction. And
around here.
Around here, yes, yes. Correct. So
that's very true. So we've got to worry about water supply, too, because as Fargo gets bigger, it's possible the Red River could go dry. And if we're storing water somewhere, that may be the water supply. It won't be excess water in a spring flood. It'll be storage for somebody to drink or wash their dishes in July.
And I just I did a little Google search on the Red River in Texas. And Larry, if you can email us weather@flagfamily.com, you said you Googled it, and what I Googled, it does flow through Texas, but it does not flow north through the state.
Even part of it.
No.
Okay. All right.
It flows eastward.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So but Larry, shoot us an email, weather@flagfamily.com, if you can screenshot that.
Sure,
it'd be interesting to see where you found it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the other thing that's happening this summer that would, why would you want to be interested in it, is we're talking about North Dakota water districts currently are primarily set up on county boundaries. And I didn't realize Cass County was the only county in the state that has four water districts separated by watershed. Which kind of makes sense, because water doesn't care what boundary it's flowing over. And if you're trying to deal with it, you've got to deal with it on the entire course of it, which is a lot of what the retention authority is doing. They're taking the entire 36,000 acres in the United States, and they're even considering the other 10 or 11,000 acres in Canada and working with Canada to make sure we're taking care of everybody's flooding problems. Would it make sense then for North Dakota? We currently voluntarily get together as like the Red River Water Resource District in North Dakota, but we don't have to. So there's a discussion about changing state law so that we water districts have to work with each other. That kind of makes sense. There's a little bit of concern on the Minnesota side. They are set up by watersheds already. They also have a permitting process. If we have one permit for a project, they have 14. We don't want to go there.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's legislation was introduced again this year. Senate Bill 2010 or something like that. I forgive me about the numbers on that, but where they proposed that we conduct a study to see if redistricting the watersheds to be a little bit more in compliance or kind of mirror what Minnesota's doing as far as the actual watershed district rather than the county boundaries. And so I had requested to be a part of that study as I'm one that works very closely with the Minnesota watershed districts also along with the water resource districts in North Dakota. So I'm not saying that one way or the other is better or works or is wrong. It's they're different, and we're both used to working with this with the situations and the organizations that we have, and so just trying to streamline these processes and try not to add more red tape to a process that's already working. Right. Water projects move very slow, and we don't want to slow them down any more than they already have.
And you have some dam projects in the books for this year. Explain that.
Well, some of the dams that we have, and it's kind of some interesting background on some of these dams. In North Dakota, there are 50 PL-566 dams that have been constructed. And out of those 50 PL-566 dams in North Dakota, 42 of them are in the Red River Basin. So, and of those 42, 33 of them were built before 1974. Which exceeds the 50-year life expectancy of these structures. Six of these dams currently are considered high-hazard potential dams, which means if they were to be breached or to fail, there could be a potential loss of human life. Mm. We do have one dam currently right now, the Bourbonny Dam, up in Pembina County area, that has been currently breached for emergency reasons. And so we're looking at trying to get those dams rehabilitated. The cost that is projected right now for the rehabilitation of those six dams is about $75 million. And so we've got to try to, and that's more money than what the federal government is budgeting for the rehabilitation projects throughout the United States. So we've got some work to do to try to find some funding for these.
And guys, we have another phone call. Mike is on line one. Mike, you've got a question.
Hey, how familiar are you with I know there's some things with Canada, the Souris Valley, Souris River that flows from Canada down into Minot and then up it, and it does flow north back up into Canada.
Yes.
Where they built the dry dam, then they let it fill, and then it flooded the whole state of the whole Souris Valley. How familiar are that, or did they make it a dry dam again?
You know, I'm not that familiar with the Souris River Valley. We call it the Mouse River. The Souris River, that watershed that is up there, is of a kind of a unique situation because, like you said, it does starts in Canada, comes through the United States, and then goes back into Canada again. But I couldn't give you a definite answer on that either way.
Yeah, because they built that dam, and it was supposed to be a dry dam, and then they somehow it got filled up and became a recreation dam, and then when all the water came, they couldn't stop the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a dam to build for flood control, not recreation. But
right, all right. Well, Mike, hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate you listening.
Thanks. Yeah.
Have a good one. All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on with us this afternoon. And if people need to get a hold of you, or if they have any questions, what's the easiest way?
Yeah, the easiest way is through email, which is Red River. Well, it's RRRA. The Red River Retention Authority at idea1.net. So RRRA at idea1.net.
Yeah.
Or we've got a phone number too, 701-640-8985.
Yeah, or you can email us and we can forward that to Brian Weather at flagfamily.com or ag at flagfamily.
And I hope you can remember
RRRA. All right. Well, thanks again, Brian, for joining us this afternoon. When we come back, we haven't announced our contestant, our qualifier for our grocery giveaway, so you want to make sure you're listening right when we come back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus. 1:50 in the afternoon. Hey, we got to get a qualifier in here for our great grocery giveaway. And today's potential qualifier, and again, Rich will have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call. Rich Eggert of Moorhead. Rich, again, you got a little over 9 minutes to call. Rich Eggert of Moorhead. If you know Rich, let him know, hey, you better call in and qualify for that great grocery giveaway. $10,000.
Worth of eggs for the Eggert.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, see? There you go. Yeah. Well, let's take a quick look at the forecast because we got a pretty decent afternoon out there right now. Temperatures in the low 80s and northwest winds a little breezy at times up to about 15, but a pretty decent day. We'll make it into the low to mid 80s across the area today and then down into the mid 50s tonight. A little patchy fog possible tonight and a little bit warmer tomorrow. You're going to notice the humidity tick up a little bit each day. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to the weekend, it's going to feel like the dead of summer around here with a lot of heat and a lot of humidity. We're looking at mid-80s on Wednesday, mid to upper 80s on Thursday, upper 80s on Friday, and we're in the low to mid-90s both Saturday and Sunday. Now, I was just taking a look at our latest computer model runs, and we do have a chance for storms Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. The ones that are coming in Thursday night, and especially Friday night, those could be severe around here. And, you know, typically at night when you get the severe storms, they're typically going to be a damaging wind or a hail threat. It's pretty rare to get tornadoes at night this far north. It's happened, you know, and it can happen. But right now the main threat looks to be damaging winds and hail with those storms possible Thursday night, but a better chance for some strong to severe storms Friday night. So, again, much-needed rain. We could still use a little bit, even though most of the drought conditions have really been eliminated. They've eradicated from our area. It doesn't mean they can't come back. We've seen that happen before. And then a cold front hits Sunday night and gives us some shower and storm activity Sunday night into Monday with temperatures dropping off into the 70s to start next week. So, again, today's grocery giveaway qualifier, again, Rich, how much time does Rich have left? About, I'm guessing, 6-7 minutes. Rich Eggert, 8-10. All right, Rich Eggert of Moorhead. Again, you got about 8 minutes to call to qualify for that $10,000 grocery giveaway.
Rich, where are you?
You got, come on, somebody's got to know Rich and give him a call on his cell phone. Say, hey, you got to call in.
In fact, that's what happened yesterday. The guy got his friend. Got him out of a pit.
He did, remember? Yeah, yes. And just in time. Yeah, 701-293-9000 is a number to call Rich. So hopefully we can get Rich qualified for that. And we give that away. What is it, July 10th, Addison? July 10th, okay. And that'll be over at Kingpin's. We'll be down there so you can come down and say hi to us. And hopefully we get a winner down there that's happy. I don't know why they wouldn't be $10,000 in. What would you do with it, Bill?
You know, I was thinking about that yesterday. Actually, you know, I think I would give some to the food pantry.
Oh, great!
In Castleton, okay. You know, they can always use some, and you know, Fargo Moorhead has a food pantry too.
Right.
And then some to my kids. I'm by myself now.
Okay.
So, for, you know, $10,000 worth of groceries might last me a week or two.
Oh yeah, you know. Sure. Hey, can you get beer with that, Addison?
Ooh,
I was just thinking that'd stock you up for a while.
That's carbohydrates.
It's right.
So my understanding, I'm going to say this and be incorrect, and then management's going to have to run in here and be like, don't say that.
Well, then don't say it.
No.
You're not sure. Just say I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's just a gift certificate. You can get anything in the store with it, I'm pretty sure. They're not picky about what they do and don't let you get with it.
Okay. No. You know, I'm going to check with sales just to make sure because
that'd be good to know.
Yeah. Because somebody might, you know what? Yeah. We've got a graduation party coming up.
A block party?
We're going to throw a block party. We could stock up with beer, you know? So that's a lot of beer, though.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot. Oh, man. So, again, Rich Eggert of Moorhead. You've got about 5 minutes left to call, and 701-293-9000 is the number. Again, looking for Rich Eggert of Moorhead. If you know Rich, let him know. He's got about 5 minutes left here to call, 701-293-9000, to qualify for our $10,000 grocery giveaway. So that's going to wrap it up for today, Bill. I want to thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you so much for filling in for Bridget.
Oh, it was fun.
It's been fun having you here. And you are a wealth of information. I found out so off air. I found out, is that Bill? Or Rich, I should say.
Rich,
Is that Rich? All right. we'll wait here. We'll stall here, and then we can get Rich on if that is him.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I've learned a wealth of information from you off air.
Oh, one last tidbit.
Okay, let's hear it.
The guy who started, two guys, Colin Peterson and Earl Pomeroy started the retention authority,
okay,
set that up. And Colin Peterson started out in the North Dakota Army Guard Band. Who do you suppose his tent mate was?
You.
No.
Oh.
Bill Marcille Sr.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
You bet.
Wow.
And they had a summer encampment just west of Amenia when Bill Guy from Amenia was governor. They had tanks out there.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
You are a wealth of information.
There you go.
Addison, is that Rich on line one? All right. Let's see if let's put Rich on real quick before we, okay. He's gathering the information from Rich. Just to make 100% sure.
All right.
And
I got to meet Bill Marcille Sr. when I was the first chair of the Fargo Forum Readers Board while I was on active duty after 9/11 with the 119th Fighter Wing.
Wow. You
I've been around.
You've been around
a couple of times.
All right. And which war did you serve in again?
Well, I got entered during Vietnam, never went to Vietnam. Okay. I've served 34 years, and nobody ever shot at me in anger.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. All right, we have Rich on line one. Rich, hey, thanks for calling in. You just made it.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good, 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 good. So did you hear, or did somebody have to call you and say, hey, they just called your name?
No. That's exactly it. I was actually out of my truck at the rest area in Alexandria heading south.
Oh, wow. Well, it's good. It's good.
My phone blew up.
It's good to have good friends.
Yeah, Julie, Lonnie, and Mickey, they all took care of me, so I appreciate that.
Awesome. And if you win July 10th, what would you do with the $10,000 in groceries?
Oh, boy. Well, I like to smoke food. I'd probably have some sort of big party. Invite my grandkids, of course.
Cool.
My kids. Have a big smoke fest. I don't know. I'd probably light the neighborhood.
Hey, I like it.
Donate a bunch, too.
Like it. Well, Rich, best of luck to you. And again, that'll be July 10th down at Kingpin's. Make sure you're there.
Perfect. We'll be there.
All right. Thanks, Rich. All right. That'll do it for Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next.